Hi, this is Dr. Ralph Wilson with Jesus Walk, Beginning the Journey. This is Lesson 4, Fellowship, Connecting to a Community of Christians. Some people try to live a Christian life by themselves, away from regular Christian friends or a church. It doesn't work very well, either for their own growth or to accomplish Jesus' mission here on earth. The reason we can't practice authentic Christianity without Christian fellowship is because love is at the very root of God's character. 1 John 4:16, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. Love requires someone to love. Love seeks out someone to love and bless. Love is never solitary. It requires community to operate. Jesus believed in this so much that he made this audacious statement, John 13:34-35, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. We start out selfish on our own, but when we are with others, we learn to care for their needs. Have you ever seen how a young man settles down after he gets married? Have you ever seen a young woman begin to mature when she becomes a mother? Why does this happen? Because marriage and family require people to put others' needs first. They require people to learn to love. The Bible describes Christians as part of a family. Look at these verses, Galatians 6:10. Let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Hebrews 13:1. Keep on loving each other as brothers. 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Family members care for each other, help each other, support each other, and forgive each other when they have an argument. We are family, sons and daughters of the same Father. Christians are also described as part of a body. 1 Corinthians 12:12. The body is a unit, even though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body, so it is with Christ. Ephesians 4:16. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Parts of a body aren't independent, but interdependent. Each part has a vital responsibility, as a finger or an eye or a knee, for example, to help the whole body function well. A toe can't isolate itself from the body and survive. Christians are also described as part of a flock. The shepherd is not passive. Rather, he is active in finding food for the flock, taking them to streams where they can drink, binding up the wounds of those who are injured, and protecting the flock against predators. Sometimes the shepherd must defend the sheep at the risk of his life. Jesus said, John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This idea of a shepherd is carried over to the church that Jesus founded. The word pastor literally means shepherd. Each grouping of Christians has a pastor or shepherd who is responsible for the flock or that grouping of Christ followers. The Apostle Paul exhorted some leaders, Acts 20:28, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Sometimes these Christian leaders are called elders, priests, ministers, bishops, or overseers. Don't let the terminology confuse you. Just understand the concept of shepherds caring for the sheep, God's people. The church is very much Jesus' idea. But Jesus' concept of church may be quite a bit different than many churches that you see around you. Let me clarify. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church. The Bible word church means literally the called out ones, those who have been called by God and gathered together out of the world. Notice carefully that the word church does not mean a building. A church is a gathering of people, not a physical structure. In fact, for the first couple of centuries after Christ, there were no church buildings. People met for worship in homes. Since the primary concept of the church is people, you don't go to church. Rather, you gather with the church. In fact, it is extremely important for you to gather regularly with a church, a congregation, or group of Christians nearby you. It is vital for your health and growth. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, all the more as you see the day approaching." So let's talk about these gatherings, larger gatherings. In our day, churches range in size from 50 to 5,000 and even more. Size has nothing to do with spiritual quality. Bigger is not necessarily better. In larger gatherings, you worship with other Christians and hear teaching and preaching that can help you grow in Christ. Small groups. Smaller gatherings are important for you also, because here you get to know your Christian brothers and sisters well. In small groups, they can get to know you, love you, and care for you, and vice versa. This is where the best Christian fellowship takes place. These small groups are sometimes called by different names, life groups, care groups, etc. You need to be part of one of these. Ask your mentor or the pastor of your church how to get involved in a small group. Pairs. Another important way to grow is to spend time on a regular basis with one or two Christian friends. I hope that you are following my instructions and are doing this beginning the journey study with a mentor. If not, you need to find a person with whom you can study. Having a close Christian friend gives you someone to be accountable to in a good way. Accountability keeps you on track and growing. The best way to find a church is to ask your mentor or Christian friend what church he or she attends and go along. Going with a friend makes it easier to get acquainted with other Christians and learn about Christian worship and life in a church. There are many blessings and advantages of being part of a church. Sometimes, however, finding the right church for you can be difficult. For one reason or another, a church may not feel right to you. If that is the case, try attending another church in your community if one is available. But no church is perfect. That's because churches are made up of human beings, just like you. Whatever church you attend, you will probably see some flaws. Don't focus on the flaws. Focus on God, how you can worship Him in that service, and what you can learn from Him through the preaching or teaching. Churches come in all shapes and sizes. There are different denominations or families of churches that come from different historical traditions. Don't choose a church by its name. Look for a church, one, that teaches or preaches from the Bible. Avoid churches where the sermon or message is mainly a preacher's own thoughts and theories. You will grow from Bible teaching, not just clever sermons. Second, look for a church where people love one another. Remember, Jesus said that this is the sign that they are His true disciples. Third, look for a church that is not proud and exclusive. Some offshoots of Christianity, called sects, act as if all other churches are wrong and only they have the truth. Avoid these churches. They have some truth, but their exclusive attitude leads to serious problems and distortions of Jesus' teachings. Well, let's look at the benefits of being part of a church. There are many benefits and blessings. Jesus intended it this way. First, role models. You can find people who are mature in the Christian faith, from whom you can learn and who you can model your life after. They are like fathers and mothers for us in the faith. And then specialized ministries. In a church, you will find people who have received special spiritual gifts from God that will help build you up in the faith. You will meet people with gifts of teaching, evangelism, faith, showing mercy, exhortation, encouragement, prayer, artistic gifts such as music and art, and many others. A church is designed to offer a rich environment of spiritually gifted people who together produce a healthy church. And then protection. A church provides spiritual protection for you. The role of a pastor or shepherd is to watch out for you and other members of the flock. And then healing. A church is designed to be a place where hurting, wounded people can find love and healing. The love that produces healing flows best in small groups, so be sure to become part of such a group. And then encouragement. Face it, sometimes we get discouraged. Having brothers and sisters nearby can help us. The Bible says, encourage one another and build each other up. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 6:2. And finally, growth. If you are part of a healthy church, you will find yourself growing and becoming more mature in your faith. Perhaps you've been thinking about what you can receive from a church. That is good. But also realize that you have a lot to offer a Christian community. Just like having a baby energizes a human family, so having new Christians energizes the church. People praise God for what Jesus has done in your life. God has given you spiritual gifts to help others in the Christian community. Though you may not yet realize what these gifts are, your presence and faithfulness will help build up the church and make everyone else stronger. As we have learned, Jesus started the Christian faith on the principle of a loving community of disciples. To be his followers, we need to become part of a community of believers. That is our responsibility. I have two recommendations. One, become part of a small group. Being in a group of 8 to 12 people every week or two will help you a great deal. It is well worth your time. And two, join a church in your community. Church membership may seem a little scary, but don't quit. Becoming a formal member of a church is an important step for your spiritual growth. It usually involves some classes and baptism. Just like marriage signals commitment and causes growth, so joining a church signals commitment and produces growth. You'll find some people who are church hoppers, like grasshoppers or crickets. They jump from church to church, never staying long, but hopping to another church. They look for perfection, but never find it, so they hop off again. These immature people are afflicted with three problems. One, selfishness. They are more concerned with what they can get than what they can give. People who hop from church to church never stay long enough to use their spiritual gifts to build up one another. Selfishness is the antithesis of love. Second, lack of realism. They expect churches to be perfect, and when they find a church's flaws, they're gone. They're like dreamy-eyed young married people who expect marriage to be perfect. Hopefully, they grow up and begin to work at making the best of the relationship. Three, unfaithfulness. They lack commitment or faithfulness. One of the qualities Jesus seeks to produce in us followers is faithfulness or reliability, steadfastness. Commitment causes growth in us and health in a church body. When Jesus founded the Christian faith, he founded it on love, love for God and love for one another. He knew that Christian fellowship was the network through which this love would flow. That is why it is important to become part of a Christian fellowship ourselves. Our memory verse for this week is John 13:34 to 35. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the people who have followed Jesus before me. I have learned so much from them. I pray that you will help each person studying this lesson to find a place where they can be part of a fellowship of Christian brothers and sisters. Guide them, help them, so that they can grow in Jesus. In his name I pray.